Good morning, world. Or at the very least, it's a better one than yesterday was. With news and commentary for the 8th of July, 2005, I'm King David McKenzie. As of 10:45 Universal Coordinated Time, here's how the world is treating itself. A few questions still in my mind concerning that series of bombings in London yesterday. Of course, the basic points, four bombs going off in a similar time span and roughly the same time of day as the Twin Towers, the Pentagon, and Somerset County, Pennsylvania, back on 9/11. Rudolph Giuliani, the former New York mayor, somehow showed up across the street from one of the blasts in London, just as he had in New York. And immediate blame is again laid upon Al-Qaeda, without regard to the many security officials who warn it is too soon to determine such. The final underground bombing took place at the Edgware Road station in the very heart of London's Arab community. As I understand it, the MP representing this area in the House of Commons is, perhaps significantly, George Galloway, Tony Blair's most vocal opponent in the British government. A couple of acquaintances reminded me that yesterday's attacks were nothing compared to what the Irish Republican Army used to perpetrate on England, and in fact there was an IRA-linked bombing of a London bus in 1996 that was brought to my attention that was barely reported outside of England. An Associated Press report quoted an anonymous Israeli government member as saying Scotland Yard had warned Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli finance minister visiting London on business, about possible terror attacks yesterday morning, leading Netanyahu to stay in his hotel room instead of going to a meeting at a hotel directly above one of the underground blast sites. Shortly afterwards, the Israeli government issued an official statement denying any such warning was made, perhaps because the official line from Scotland Yard is that they had no advance warning of the bombings. Israeli Foreign Minister Sylvain Shalom then tried to link the attacks to Israel's experience with suicide bombers from Israeli-occupied Palestine, although Shalom appears to be slow on the pickup that the cause may be closer to identical than the incident itself. The primary link between Al-Qaeda and these bombings appears to be a claim on an Arabic language website from a previously unknown group calling itself the Secret Organization of Al-Qaeda in Europe. Remarkably, also the title of a brand new book by an author who was interviewed on MSNBC yesterday and noted the website administrators took down that statement soon after it appeared because they recognized the originating IP number and associated it with previous bogus statements. Of course, these news organizations pointing to this website statement as proof are not saying anything about how easily a website can be hacked. Thus, it's like accepting photocopies as being as authentic as an original. Well, just ask a few former employees of CBS News about that idea. Plus, according to MSNBC Arabic translator Jacob Kiriakis, I believe that's how his name is pronounced, the statement in question makes an error in its quoting a verse in the Quran, something Al-Qaeda itself would never do. The coverage on the U.S. cable networks was incredibly appalling. At 7 a.m. Eastern, MSNBC had a pair of brainless Barbie dolls saying something may have happened to a bus right as the picture being shown was of the very bus that had been shredded. Then they said Tony Blair seemed to be returning to London 10 minutes after Blair was shown actually saying that he was definitely returning to London. These fools at the anchor desk are so worried about what to say next that they don't even know what's already been said. Fox Propaganda Channel talking head Brian Kilmeade actually had the gall to say on the air that this attack, quoting now, works to the Western world's advantage for people to experience something like this together. End of quote. That comment needs no assistance in its self-condemnation. And finally, last night, Killer Joe Scarborough closed his MSNBC Hour of Non Sequiturs with a completely incomprehensible rant in which he had the gall to compare GWB to Winston Churchill. Highly unlikely, if for no other reason than Churchill never led a country into a war based on a pack of lies, and GWB has. And Scarborough also claimed the attacks on the London Underground proved the G8 leaders shouldn't have listened to Bono and Bob Geldof about African debt. Huh? Perhaps the only way to respond to that utter nonsense is to note the documented fact that more people have died in one of Joe Scarborough's offices than during a conversation with Bob Geldof. And, of course, the most disturbing point of all of this, how convenient this is for unindicted criminals like Karl Rove and Tom DeLay and Rush Limbaugh. How convenient this is that it washes their looming legal problems off the front pages. And how convenient it is that blowhards like Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity get a brief respite in their TV ratings sag. How convenient as well it is to let slip from their minds, whatever part of their minds that might still function, that when you go to war on countries under false premises, this is something that you should expect. It has become our urgent duty now to rein in the runaway egos of GWB and, does anybody dare ask where he is now? Dick Cheney. Once upon a time, another nation's citizens allowed the ego of its head of state to run wild, and he went to war on another country based on complete lies. By the time that country's leader was removed from power, millions had been killed within their national boundaries, and their cities lay in ruins. And not one of the bombs that was dropped on those cities was marked to kill bad Germans only. A reminder that this news and commentary program originates from three different locations on the World Wide Web, WhiteRoseSociety.org, RadioForAll.net, and Radio.IndieMedia.org. Please offer these websites, as well as any other online or broadcast station airing this newscast, whatever possible support you can, okay? And as far as broadcast stations running this newscast, there are three that I currently have notes on. One in Washington, the Fiercely Independent Radio, KITR-LP 101.5 in Kettle Falls, Washington. And two, in Kaseloff, Alaska, in the central Kenai Peninsula, KWMD at 90.7, and KWVK in 89.7, about 70 miles south of Anchorage, roughly. If you're listening on those stations, I'd appreciate some sort of email. As a matter of fact, if you're listening on any other stations, I'd appreciate email. You can email me at thevoiceoflabor@centurytel.net. That's thevoiceoflabor, L-A-B-O-R, at centurytel, C-E-N-T-U-R-Y-T-E-L, .net. And I'll be seeing you here again tomorrow. I'm King David. Actually, on Monday, got to remember this is Friday, I'm King David McKenzie. Remember, fear and God do not inhabit the same space. Now go out and make some news of your own.